I know once in a while Brother Brunson will text in on the computer there while I'm in the morning show, and so I know that he's there on those days. I don't know when he's there and when he's not, but anyway, that's a blessing. I appreciate that, and appreciate everything thus far. Thank the Lord for the opportunity to be here. It's our first time coming down. Matter of fact, our first time ever being in Texas. Amen. And amen. They say everything's bigger in Texas. They say if it's not, they'll lie and say it is. That's what Paul Harvey said about it. Anyway, amen. That is right. Let me tell you a joke before I get started here. Rutledge told that about the cat. And, of course, Brother Sutton got started on that last night about loving these four-legged creatures. Now, I need to do a disclaimer when I start. Children, this is a joke. Don't try it at home, all right? But this preacher said that he started performing miracles. He could make a cat bark like a dog. He said what he does is he just pours gasoline on it, throws a match, and that cat will go, whoosh! Woof, that's all it'll do. Amen. And then he got Chinese food. Amen. All right. Amen. Amen. All right. Well, I better get serious. Revelation chapter number 3. It is a serious topic, but matter of fact. And I appreciate Brother Williamson preaching his heart. Brother Rutledge preaching and giving us that, great message. Amen. And I was thinking as Brother Williamson was preaching, it is evident that his heart goes out to see sinners saved by the grace of God. That is the call of our Lord in this time, in time. After time, eternity, too late. No more calling on sinners. It's in this time. It's in this time. And I felt like that was the direction God was leading us as well. And so I told him, I said, I believe you're on target. I believe that's the right. I even told Brother Brunson, I said, if there had been no intermission, I'd have just hooked up and went right with him. I understand having that. I understand that break. But I pray that Jesus will knock at some sinner's heart. That's the text I'm using, Revelation chapter 3 and verse number 20. I know the context of the scripture. And I don't know. I've been preaching, I think, 32 plus years now. And I think last Sunday I preached this text, and I felt like that's what was on my heart today. And I'm not just preaching it as a rerun. It's a burden burning on my heart then and doing it the same even now. I believe it's the first time I've ever lifted it out of its context and used it as Jesus knocking at the heart of the sinner. He's knocking at the heart of a cold, lukewarm church in the text. Last days church. Amen. And we're in the last days, and you're in a church setting, and he's probably knocking at some sinner's heart today. Amen. And I pray that he does. Amen. I said to our folk when I mentioned about lifting it out of its context, I'll preach the context. I want to give you that. I want you to see that and then lift it out and use it. I don't think when we get to heaven that the Lord will condemn a preacher for using this text to try to reach sinners. Amen. I don't think that he'll fuss at the preacher for taking this text and trying to convince a sinner to listen as the Lord speaks to their heart. Amen. Amen. So Revelation chapter number 3, if you would stand with us, verse number 20. Just read the one verse. Revelation chapter 3. Let me back up verse 19. I need to do that. Verse 19 and 20. The words of our Lord. If you have a red letter edition, I'll say this. Those red letters are not any more important than the other letters. It's all the Word of God. But if you do have a red letter edition, you'll see these are the words of our Lord. He says in verse number 19, as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. That's going back to what Brother Jamie was saying a minute ago. Bear down on it. Be zealous. Don't put it off. Don't fool around. Amen. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and will sup with him and he with me. Heavenly Father, thank you for the Word of God. Thank you for the preaching we've had already. And Lord, I pray that even now, what's been said and what's going to be said would have the breath of God upon it. Lord, that it might be good seed fall in some good soil, that it might bring forth a good harvest to the glory of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Father, I pray that you would use it to bring some sinner to Christ. Help us, the saints, recognize the seriousness of the hour, the need to pray, and the seriousness of preaching. Lord, I pray you'd use it for your glory. In Christ Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. And amen. Thank you for standing. You can be seated. As I said, these are the words of our Lord and Savior. They've been imploring words. Our Lord is sending out this desire. He's mentioning that he longs to fellowship with these folks inside that closed door. And he longs to be welcomed into our assemblies. Amen. We ought to go out and invite sinners to come in. Amen. We ought to want sinners in the house of God. But we certainly ought to want the Savior. Amen. There's a lot of people are pushing the Savior out in order to get the sinners in. Amen. They're excluding the Savior in order to try to include some sinners. That'll never work. It'll never work. Amen. We need the Lord in our presence whenever we gather together. Amen. Now, I say this is a familiar text, therefore the explanation will not need to be long. I can be short with that. And say to you that you know that our Lord has given seven letters to seven churches. The hand of John, he's writing these seven letters and sending them out to these seven churches. This is the final letter of these seven. These are the final words. He's coming down to a close as he is sending out this letter to them. And so this letter has been addressed to the most carnal of any of the churches. The most worldly, the most lukewarm, amen. The most unspiritual, fleshly church of all. So carnal, so worldly, so unspiritual that Jesus is not in the midst. He said, where two or three, just two or three, are gathered in my name, there am I in the midst. Apparently there wasn't two or three in there. He's on the outside. And yet in his mercy, he still wants to be on the inside. Amen. In his mercy, he's still sending an imploring cry. If you'll just let me in, if any man, if one of you will hear my voice. Amen. He said, you open the door, I'll come in and sup with you. Amen. Amen. You can sup with me. And so a lot of times we observe this church as representative of the last days church. I believe that's correct. Amen. I do believe these are seven literal churches, seven literal letters written to seven literal men. Amen. In charge of those churches. And yet we can use it as representative of our Lord because of these last days, because churches today seem to be as a run of the mill to be more worldly than ever before, more carnal than ever before, more powerless than ever before, more neglectful of the things of God than ever before. Amen. And yet in spite of all the problems of this representative church, our Lord makes an invitation that he'd like to come in. Amen. He's offering rebuke and reproof. If you'll turn with me to Proverbs chapter number 29, I'll be back in Revelation in a moment, but Proverbs 29, there's a verse of Scripture that we use in preaching to parents. I could quote it to you. You'd know it well, but I want you to look at it. Proverbs chapter number 29 and verse number 15. We use this particularly talking about the discipline of children, or particularly to mothers, because it deals with mothers in the last part of the verse. But Proverbs 29 and verse number 15, the Bible says, the rod and reproof give wisdom. And here's what we use a lot. But a child left to himself bringeth his mother to shame. If you don't discipline that child, he'll shame you one day. If you don't discipline that child, he'll be a fool. He'll not have any wisdom. Amen. It takes discipline, he says, for them to have wisdom. But notice what he says, how wisdom comes. The rod and reproof. So just whipping them's not enough. Amen. You got to warn them. You got to talk to them. They got to have words. Just whipping's not enough. They need to know what the whipping's for. Amen. Then on the other hand, just warning them's not enough. We come to the day, we think just warning them's enough. If I've told you once, I've told you 1,000 times. Once ought to have been enough.
Amen.
Amen. One of my aunts said to one of my cousins years ago, I don't remember it, I've just heard my mom tell it, that my aunt said to one of my cousins, she said, I've told you for the last time. He said, good, because I'm tired of hearing it. And my aunt went to whip him. My mama said, don't whip him. I'm tired of hearing it too. Amen. Amen. You just keep warning and keep warning. Warning's not enough. He said it takes the rod and reproof. It takes both together. But in our text, our Lord is so interested in this church. By the way, let me back up and say this. You might have a rebellious child. By the way, every child's not the same. Some children just pliable.
Amen.
Amen. Moldable, good, almost perfect children like I was. Yeah. Some's that way. That's a joke, by the way.
We knew it.
Other children have a little bit more stubborn will. But a good parent don't give up on them. A good parent just keeps using that rod and keeps using that reproof. Amen. Here's a church more rebellious than the rest of them, but our Lord's not giving up on them. Thank God. Our Lord's still at the door knocking. Our Lord's still offering reproof and the rod. Amen. He says in verse number 19, I'm coming with the rod in Revelation chapter 3, verse number 19. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Amen. He says, I'm coming with the rod. Amen. I'm coming with the rod. But verse number 20 says this. He says, if you'll hear my word, if you'll hear my voice, amen, I'll come into you. In other words, you can have wisdom, the rod and reproof. Let wisdom in the door.
Amen.
Jesus Christ has become to us the wisdom of God and the power of God. Amen. Amen. And about all, I'm telling you, there's so much tied up in salvation, tied up in the way we raise our children. One of the reasons I believe why we've got such a reprobate generation is because the generation before raised them like reprobates. They let them grow up on their own and bring their mother to shame. Amen. So our Lord uses the weapon, the rod, and He uses His word, the reproof, in order to try to win this erring church back to Himself. Amen. And so our Lord has been excluded in the text that I'm looking at and trying to lay out the foundation. He's been excluded from the midst of that church, and yet He's standing patiently at the door, knocking for admittance. Can I say to you that Christ is not the beggar? It's not as if He's out there begging to be let in. Christ is not the poor one. The church is the poor one. He said, you're bankrupt. You don't even know it. You think you're rich and increased with goods. He said, I'm outside. I'm not the beggar. I'm the rich one. You're the poor ones. Amen. You're the beggar. Sinner, I want to say to you, Christ does not need to be saved. He came to seek and to save that which was lost. Here's a verse of Scripture that said, others He saved. Himself He cannot save. That is exactly the truth. They told the truth if it's ever been told. He didn't save Himself. He didn't need saving. But He came to seek and to save that which was lost. Thank God He's willing to deny Himself. He's willing to lay His life down on that cross that you and I could be saved by the good grace of God. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. What a Savior, amen. He's the rich one, but He's willing to come in and share His riches. Amen. He's the wealthy one. Amen. And by the way, He shouldn't have to be knocking on our door. We ought to be knocking the door down to get to Him. Amen. Well, He's the gentleman. That's why He's knocking on the door. If it was His intention, the door couldn't have stopped Him from coming in. Amen. But He's being the gentleman that He'll not come in unless He's asked. Amen. He's being the gentleman that He'll not barge in. He wants to be invited in. Amen. Amen. When I think about this church at Laodicea was sick and the great physician standing at the door. Amen. This church at Laodicea was wretched and miserable and poor. That's what our Lord said about them. And yet standing at the door is the welcoming one, the adequate one, the wealthy one with everything they need in His hands and His possession. And they've got Him locked outside the door. This church at Laodicea was blind and naked. That's what our Lord said about them. And our Lord standing there with healing in His wings, able to clothe them with a robe of righteousness. Amen. Cover the nakedness and shame. Amen. This verse, as I said, been lifted from its context and used in a lot of sermons and even in songs. Here's a song that was written several years ago. I don't know exactly when it was written, but Lester Roloff sang it. That's when I became aware of it. Brother Roloff was singing it. I looked it up and I found out Slim Whitman recorded it and Johnny Cash recorded it, along others. Amen. But I'd rather hear Brother Roloff. He sang that song, "Who at my door is standing?" And I've got it, the words. Let me read them to you. "Who at my door is standing, patiently drawing near, entrance within demanding, whose is the voice I hear? Sweetly the tones are falling, open the door for me. If thou wilt heed my calling, I will abide with thee." Verse 2, "Lonely without he's staying, lonely within am I. While I am still delaying, will he not pass me by? Sweetly the tones are falling, open the door for me. If thou wilt heed my calling, I will abide with thee. All through the dark hours dreary, knocking again is he. Jesus, art thou not weary, waiting so long for me? Sweetly the tones are falling, open the door for me. If thou wilt heed my calling, I will abide with thee." Verse number 4, Johnny Cash didn't sing this verse. He didn't. He didn't record it. Verse number 4. "Door of my heart I hasten, thee will I open wide. Though he rebuke and chasten, yet with me shall he abide." Amen. If you hear him knocking, run to the door. Amen. If you hear the Savior calling, Brother Williamson was preaching about hell, and he said, "Don't go to hell. Don't go to hell. There's a real hell." Listen, more than hearing the preacher, if you hear the voice of the Savior knocking on your heart's door, run to the door. Amen. Run to the door. Let Jesus in. I've got 4 points, and I'll be quick. My introduction's long. My message will be short. Then I'll give you a long conclusion to make up for it. 4 points real quick. First of all, I want you to notice the surprise. I'm going to show you the surprise, the suitor, the one that's at the door. Number 2, or 3, the standing. And number 4, the suit, the plea that he makes. And first of all, the surprise. Verse 20, he says, "Behold," that is a word of surprise. You ever been sitting at home, going about your business, whatever you was doing? Maybe you was reading, studying, maybe you was watching TV. I don't know. You was sitting at home, and you were surprised by a knock at the door. You didn't know anybody was there. You didn't know anybody was interested in coming over. You were surprised that Jesus was there. Or that somebody was. I remember the time when I was surprised. That Sunday morning. The 5th Sunday in June 1974. When God spoke to me. Amen. He had spoken to me earlier. He spoke to me back in March of that year in our revival meeting. God spoke to me. And I recognized I was a sinner going to hell. Amen. God got to deal with me. I remember night after night as we'd be going to bed, my dad was struggling and running from the call to preach in some of that time frame. My dad announced his call in March. And before that, when we'd be going to bed, we'd be saying our bedtime prayers, and my mom would say, "You boys pray for your dad. He's really struggling with something." And I can remember saying to myself, "How can I pray for him? I can't even pray for myself. I need to be saved myself." And yet, for some reason, I didn't call on God. I didn't understand. And by the way, when I got saved, I didn't understand all about it. But I knew He was knocking at my heart's door that morning. The Savior was there. And He was saying, "If you'll just open the door, you don't have to understand all about it. If you'll just open the door, I'll come in." Amen. That Sunday morning when He surprised me, amen, by being there at the door. Amen. Everything in this text is a surprise. After the way that Christ has been treated. I'm talking about after the way He's treated by this church. Shoved out so they could welcome in everything else. Pushed aside because they didn't think they needed him anymore. After the way he's been treated, that he'd still knock at the door. But for a sinner, after the way you've cursed him, after the way you've rejected him, after the way you've mocked him, amen, after the way that you've treated him and yet he'd still knock on your door, I say hallelujah, what a Savior, amen. Oh, what a Savior that He'd still be willing to knock at the heart of the sinner. Amen. Why would He bother fooling with the same as you and I? Why would He bother with us? when he could go on. Amen. There's a song the Caracos used to sing that said, he didn't have to die for me. He could have walked on by. He'd have still been the same God. Just as much God if I'd been burning in hell. He'd still been the same God. Just as much God. But he saved me by his grace. Amen. He didn't have to come. Why would he bother with us? I'm telling you, it is a surprise. Amen. He's the one got all of his beauty and all of his bounty. What do we have to offer him? Amen. There's a song that says, why me, Lord? You remember that old song? Why me, Lord? What did I ever do? You never done anything to make him love you. Amen. I heard a man say years ago, and I remember this before I was preaching, but I heard a man say, he said, God saw something good in you. That's why he saved you. I said, oh, no, that's not right.
Amen.
That is absolutely not right. God saw me and you, and he knew there was nothing good in us. Amen. There was nothing good in us. We was polluted in our own blood. Amen. We was lost and lonely and had no hope. We was without God in this world. And yet he loved us anyhow. Amen. Loved us anyhow. Amen. Came to Calvary. Amen. Came to our heart's door. Knocked on our heart's door. Thank God. Why would he bother with the likes of us? Amen. He has no need of us. Amen. And yet, behold, he stands at the door and knocks. James Durham wrote a great biography in the 1600s. By the way, James Durham was the chaplain to King James's son. We name our Bible after King James was a Scottish king, then became king of England and the United Kingdom. His son, Charles the chaplain, was James Durham. James Durham died, I think he was 30-some years old when he died. But he was a powerful preacher. And he wrote a commentary on the book of Revelation, which is unusual for a Protestant. Amen. To write on the book of Revelation. And most people say that it was the greatest commentary written for its time. You can still find it online. I've looked at some of the stuff on it. It's hard to read because written in Old English. But anyway, in that, he said this word, behold, is more than just a word of surprise. He says it is a judicious word, that it means make record of this. It actually means I'm God making record that you're going to be without excuse because I'm knocking on your door.
Amen.
Jesus is saying to that church at Laodicea, this is your chance. This is your chance. Preacher said it last night. It's a personal message. It's a powerful message. Amen. Could very well be a permanent message. He said, this is your time. I'm standing at the door and I'm knocking. Make record of it.
Amen.
Behold it. Behold it. Amen. Amen. The surprise. Number two. There's not only the surprise. I want you to notice the suitor. Who it is. Who is that? Who at my door is knocking? Well, he says, it's me. I stand at the door and knock. It is none other than Christ the Lord. Amen. Amen. He's the one that made us. He's our creator. Amen. And yet he's standing at the door to knock. He is the Lord. He has no need to ask for anything. Amen. He has the right to command. Amen. I remember several years ago, I was pastoring there in North Carolina, had a preacher come preach revival for me. We went door knocking one day. It might have been on a Saturday. I don't remember if he stayed over on Saturday. But one day we went door knocking, went to the trailer park that was next door to where I lived there in North Carolina. And we went to knocking on some doors. And I went up to one and I rapped like that. Here's what he said. He said, step aside, preacher. He said, don't knock on that door like you're afraid somebody might answer it. He said, knock on that door like your daddy owns this place. Because he said, your father owns it. Amen. And I'm saying, he rapped on that door like a policeman would rap on the door. I believe that's how the Lord knocks. I believe he knocks on it like he owns the joint. Like that's his church. Amen. Like he has the right to call you to attention. He has the right to call you to account. He has that right. Because he's the creator. He is the Lord. Amen. Who is that standing at the door knocking? It is the Lord himself. Amen. Amen. He has shed his precious blood. He has paid the price. Therefore, all to him we owe. Amen. That's who's standing at the door and knocking. It's not just some preacher asking you. It's not just your mama asking you. It's the Lord Himself saying, would you not open the door? Amen. Would you not open the door? Amen. He could very well and justly condemn us because of our first neglect, our first rejection. Brother Jamie said it right earlier. He said, when I was lost, I didn't want the Lord to save me. He's exactly right.
Amen.
I've sat there and my heart thumping.
Yeah.
Jesus knocking at my heart's door.
Amen.
And me saying, you know, if I put it off just a little longer, maybe He'll quit. Friend, let me tell you, you don't want Him to quit.
Yeah.
Maybe He'll leave me alone. You don't want Him leaving you alone.
Yeah.
That'd be the worst thing that could ever happen to you, is for Him not to knock anymore. Amen. Amen. I don't know how long He'll knock. I don't know how many times He'll knock. But if He's knocking, harden not your heart.
Amen.
If you hear His voice, harden not your heart.
Amen.
Run to Jesus. Amen. Amen. I say it this way. I believe it's right. I believe if you'll go to the door and try the door, it'll almost open of its own accord.
Yeah.
That's what a good Savior He is. Amen. Amen. Hey, that's exactly right. Amen. So you see the surprise and you see the suitor. Number three, I want you to see the standing. He said, behold, I stand at the door and knock. Now, here's what's interesting, what I read. They say that word, behold, I stand. I looked it up to see, Strong's Concordance. I don't know Greek. And I don't preach to Greeks, usually. I mean, if they're in a congregation, I will. I'm not that I wouldn't. But I understand, I know something about English, all right. But I read this, it said that this word is in the preter sense. We, in English, have past, present, and future tense. You probably maybe took Greek, I don't know. And the preter sense, that pre means before. So it means it happened in the past, but it's still in the present. Amen. It's something that did happen, and it's still happening. And here's, it's as if our Lord said this, I've been here before. I've knocked on this door before. But by the grace of God, I'm still knocking. I've stood out here before and wanted entrance inside. And it's just by the good grace of God that I'm standing here now.
Amen.
Amen. He's still standing. Thank God He's still standing. Amen. When I looked the word up to see, that word, and I didn't write down the Strong's number, usually I do, but that Greek word there is translated at least 161 times in your King James Bible. The majority of those times, it's not translated stand. Or standing. It's translated stood, past tense. 60 times, at least 60 times, it's translated stood. It's translated other things, stand, standing, standeth, and all that you get in there. One time it's translated continue, because it has that connotation. I've been there and I continue knocking. But the fact that He's knocked before and the fact that He's knocking today does not mean that He's going to knock right on and right on. Amen. I've been to doors and knock and nobody come. Matter of fact, there's been times that I've been to doors and knock and I know somebody's inside there. You hear them scampering around. You see them peeping through the blinds. No, they won't open. They sit there thinking, maybe if I just leave them alone, they'll go away. And I have. Gone on. There's been other times I felt really impulsed to go back. Go back again. Maybe go through it. If you're in a circle place, you're knocking. Come back by that door again and knock.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, our Lord may have been here again and again, but that don't mean that He's going to keep on coming. He's not required to come every time.
No.
Oh, no. He's not required to come every time. And listen, you say, but I'll get saved whenever the man preaches. Listen, He don't deal with every sinner in every sermon.
Amen.
No. I do believe in a whosoever will God. Amen. But I don't believe in a whensoever will God. I like Brother Joe Bryant says it this way. He's so right. He says you cannot get saved just any time you want to. But you'll never get saved until you want to. There's got to be a want to for you to get saved. Amen. Amen. That is the grace of God. The standing. I didn't mean to preach these points that long. Amen. Well, John Flavel, another writer in the 1600s, he said that word translated knock means a powerful knock.
Yes.
Not a little rap at the door, but a powerful knock. In other words, Brother Sutton said last night, you'll know when God's speaking to you.
Amen,
amen. You might sit there and say, I don't believe he's preaching to me. I believe he's preaching to the fellow behind me. You might say that, but he'll make it plain that he's not preaching to the fellow behind you or not just him. Amen. He'll let you know he's speaking to you. And you'll come to the point you realize, it's not my brother nor my sister, but it's me, oh Lord.
Amen.
Amen. He'll make it personal, that powerful knock that you'll know he's knocking on your heart's door. Amen. And here's the last point before I get to the conclusion. The suit, this is not the clothes that he's wearing, but the plea that he makes. The plea that he makes to them. Here's what he said. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in unto him. I will come into him and will sup with him and he with me. Now, there's a few things I want you to notice. First of all, notice that the sinner's door to his heart is closed to the Savior. It's closed. I hear people say, now, preacher, my heart's always been open to the Lord. I've always believed in Jesus. I've always believed in God. I've always been a Christian. Oh, no. No, that's impossible. According to that scripture, your heart door as a sinner is closed to the Savior. Amen. He's not in there. If you're not saved, he's not in your heart. He is outside, closed door between you and him. Amen. I've got verses all over. Isaiah 53, verse 6. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. Thank God. Amen. Romans 3, 10 through 12. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good. No, not one. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Amen. That's verse 23. For all have sinned. Notice the door's shut, but I want you to notice something else. Notice that it is not the hand of our Savior that opens the door, but it's the hearing. If you hear my voice, faith comes by hearing. It's not what you do that gets you saved. It's what you hear. It's what you heed. Amen. You say, but preacher, isn't repentance works? Well, if repentance is works, faith has got to be works. Amen. Faith and repentance go together. Amen. I don't believe you can separate one from the other and have either one genuinely. I don't believe it. Somebody said they're like Siamese twins. You cut one off, you've killed the other. Amen. You say, isn't it works? It's not by works of righteousness which we have done, but it's according to his mercy that he saved us. It's the heeding, the hearing of the voice of the Savior that causes him to come in. Amen. That entails consenting to him. That entails receiving him. That entails believing him. Amen. Amen. I believe it entails embracing him, heartily, gladly receiving what he's got to say. Amen. And I give you a story where there's a man we used to support when I was in North Carolina. We supported him as a missionary in Mexico. He was born in America, born in Del Rio, Texas, and lived in Del Rio, Texas, started a church in Del Rio, Mexico. And he was a Mexican born in America. And he's telling about how, of course, he grew up in the Catholic church. Everything he knew was Catholicism. And an independent Baptist church started sending some men down their neighborhood knocking on doors. They'd come every Thursday. And he said they'd come faithfully Thursday after Thursday. They would talk to him. They'd read to him out of the Bible. They'd talk to his wife. And then they would ask him if they could have prayer with them and if they could take the Bible and show them how to be saved. And he said every time he'd tell them, we're not interested. I'm not interested. He'd say, we'll go to church. And he'd go to church. He said, we'd go to church and we'd listen to them. And the next Thursday they'd come again. And he said, God got to dealing with him. God got to dealing with old Ronaldo Olivo about how he needed the Lord. And he said, one Thursday night they came. And they said, are y'all planning to come to church Sunday? He said, yes, sir, we'll be there. And he said, the fellow said, okay. And they started to leave without opening their Bible, without having prayer, without anything. And Brother Olivo said, he stopped him and he said, brother, or sir, he said, could you tell me how common people can get saved? How common people. He said, I can understand good people. But he said, how can common people get saved? He said, that fellow said, hang on a minute. So that fellow fell on his knees and he got to praying. He said, Lord, here stands a sinner on the brink of eternity. He's about to take a leap into eternity. And if he falls without you catching him, he'll land in the lake of fire. And so he said, Lord, when he jumps, would you catch him in your mercy? And would you save him by your grace? And he stopped praying. He turned to Ronaldo Olivo. He said, jump. That was his prayer. Jump. Amen. Here's what Jesus said. Just open the door. If you'll just come to the door, amen, I'll come in and sup with you. Amen. If any man, amen, upon the sinner granting the open door, Christ promises union and communion. I will come in with him, into him, and will sup with him, and he with me. Amen. By faith, the sinner is united to Christ. Christ brings in all the comfort, all the cheer, all the blessings that accompany salvation come with Christ when you get saved. Amen. If any man hear my voice. Now, here's what God said way back in Isaiah chapter 1, verse 18. Come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Why should God bother reasoning with us?
Amen.
Just mercy.
Amen.
That's all you can say. Just mercy and grace. Come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow.
Amen.
Amen. I like that fact, though your sins be as scarlet. That means as deep dyed as they can be. Though sin has stained you through and through. He said, my blood can wash you whiter than snow. Amen. My grace can cleanse the deepest stain. Because the blood goes deeper than the stain is gone. Amen. He said, if you'll just trust me, any man, it don't matter how long you've sinned. It don't matter how bad you've sinned. It don't matter where you've been, what you've done. If you hear his voice, if you hear him knocking, he's saying, open the door. And I will come in. He can help. Amen. He can save. If he's knocking, he's interested in doing it. He's not playing games. Amen. He's not treating you like a yo-yo, pulling you in, throwing you back, pull you in, throw you. No, no. If he's pulling you in, he's intending on saving you if you'll trust him.
Amen.
You say, preacher, I've tried before and I didn't get saved. I'm like Brother John. I don't understand all that, but I do know this, that when the fruit is ripe, you don't have to pull it off the tree. When the fruit is ripe, you just touch it, and it'll fall off in your hand. Amen. Amen. Let God do his perfect work. Now, I'm going to close with this. I'm going back to that surprise and back to what James Durham said about that being a judicious statement. God says, I want you to put this down on the record, that I'm inviting sinners to let me in. God's keeping a record of every sermon you've ever heard. God's keeping a record of every prayer that's ever been prayed for you. God's keeping a record of every song of invitation you've heard sung. God's keeping a record of every rap you've heard on the door. God said, I'm keeping a record of it. And I'm going to call you into account for that record one day. Amen. He's going to call you into account. I'm sure that hell is an awful place. I'm sure that eternity is an awfully long time. Brother Williamson preached on a little bit about hell, how awful it is. But you know what will make hell worse?
Yep. Amen.
Is your memory.
Amen.
I believe the torments of that rich man, more than the fire, more than the weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth, was when Abraham said, son, remember that thou in thy lifetime had thy good things. Amen. God's going to call them in the record. One more place I'll have you turn. Two more, but let's go to Hebrews right quick. Hebrews chapter 13. We use this and talk about honoring the preacher. Hebrews chapter 13. And I want to read one verse. Hebrews chapter 13 and verse number 17. Hebrews 13, 17. Here's what the Bible says. Obey them that have the rule over you. So we know that's talking about the preacher, right? Obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourselves. Look at this. For they watch for your souls as they that must give account. Listen, I'm going to give an account for the message I'm preaching to you today. Right today, I'm a witness to you. On that day, I may be a witness against you. Brother Jacob, when I think about that, Brother Sutton, when I think about that, it makes me want to be careful how I study and prepare and pray and preach. Amen. Wants me to be careful about the way I deal with sinners, the way I handle the holy word of God. Amen. Makes me want to be careful because I'm going to give an account of it one day. Amen. I'm going to give an account of myself to God. I'm going to give account of my ministry unto God. And I believe when He's dealing with sinners, He may bring them up on that judgment day and say, hang on a minute. June 11th, is that what today is? 2019, Farrell Shepherd preached this message. Brother Shepherd, did you not preach this message? I'll have to say, yes, I did. And he'll say, behold, I stood at the door and knocked, and I wrote this record. Amen. You're going to have some witnesses that's going to testify against you. I believe your conscience will witness against you on that day. Amen. I believe the Holy Spirit will witness against you on that day. I believe, I said earlier, the prayers of your mother, the prayers of your father. Amen. The prayers of your loved ones may stand in witness against you on that day. Matter of fact, Jesus said, even the heathen. And that's where I turn. John chapter number 12, verse number 48. You don't have to turn there. Jesus said, he that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words, hath one that judgeth him. The word that I've spoken shall judge him in the last day. Amen. Jesus himself is going to say, Father, I stood there and knocked. It wasn't the first time. I'd been there before. And Father, they rejected then and again. They rejected. John chapter 3, verse number 18 and 19. He says, he that believeth on him is not condemned. But he that believeth not is condemned already. Why is that? Because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation. If Jesus hadn't come, you'd have had a cloak for your darkness. But since light has come into the world, amen, this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world. Jesus Christ, John said, is that light that lighteth every man that cometh into the world. Amen. Jesus has brought the light to you. Brother Sutton preached on that last night. He's brought the light to you and told you you're in darkness. But you know what? Men love darkness rather than light. They want their sin. They want to stay in their sin. They want to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. That's what they want. They're not willing to give that up that they might have everlasting life. All right, here's what Jesus said about the heathen, Matthew 10, 14 and 15. And whosoever shall not receive you and hear your words when you depart out of that house or city, shake off the dust off your feet. He must have been in Texas before too. He said, shake off the dust off of your feet. Verily I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable for the land of Sodom and Gomorrah in that day of judgment than for that city. Now listen, I said the preacher will testify against you. The word of God, it looks to me like even the dust of his feet is going to testify against you on that day if you reject the Son of God when he knocks. But he said, Sodom and Gomorrah, it's going to be better for them than for you. Matthew 12, verse 41 and 42, the men of Nineveh shall rise up in judgment with this generation and shall condemn it because they repented at the preaching of Jonas. And behold, a greater than Jonas is here. Amen. Jonas preached repentance, but there's a greater preacher of repentance than Jonas. Amen. Who at my door is standing? It's a greater than Jonas. The queen of the south shall rise up in judgment with this generation and shall condemn it. For she came from the uttermost parts of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon. And behold, a greater than Solomon is here. Who at my door is standing, a greater than Solomon? Will you not let him in? Will you not turn to him? Turn in your Bible to Proverbs chapter 1, and I'm almost done. Proverbs chapter 1. I'll close with this. Probably familiar text in a way, but you need to look at it. Proverbs chapter 1, and I'm going to read quite a few verses here, starting in verse number 22. I mentioned to you that Christ has become to us that are saved, He has become our wisdom. He's the wisdom of God. That's what the Bible said does. This is talking about wisdom standing without, pleading to be allowed inside. I started off talking about Proverbs. He said, the rod and reproof give wisdom. Wisdom's outside the door, waiting to be let in. The judgment of God and the grace of God has been preached to you. I believe that's the rod and reproof. been preached to you. And if you'll allow it, it'll give wisdom. It'll grant wisdom into you. But here's what he said in verse number 22 of chapter number 1. How long, ye simple ones, will ye love simplicity, and the scorner delight in their scorning, and fools hate knowledge? Turn ye at my reproof. Behold, I will pour out my spirit unto you, and will make known my words unto you. Because I have called, and ye refused. I have stretched out my hand, and no man regarded. But ye have said it not, all my counsel, and would none of my reproof. I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your fear cometh. When your fear cometh as a desolation, and your destruction cometh as a whirlwind. When distress and anguish cometh upon you, then shall they call upon me, but I will not answer you. Amen. Let me find my place. Then shall they call upon me. What verse is that? Thank you. Verse 28. But I will not answer. They shall seek me early, but they shall not find me. For that they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord. They would none of my counsel. They despised all my reproof. Here's what they say. I just wish that preacher would shut up. No, you better not. Amen. And by the way, it's not the preacher you're trying to shush.
Amen.
It's the Holy Ghost. Therefore shall they eat of the fruit of their own way, and shall be filled with their own devices. For the turning away of the simple shall slay them, and the prosperity of fools shall destroy them. But whosoever hearkeneth unto me shall dwell safely, and shall be quiet from fear of evil. Here's what our world says. World says, preacher, leave me alone. Let me go about my sin. Let me enjoy my sin. Let me enjoy the prosperity of my sin. He said, all right, you can have it. And the prosperity of fools is going to destroy you, is what he said. Amen. How many people, they wanted their liquor and their liquor killed them. They wanted their whoredom and their whoredom caused them to be killed or die a premature death. Amen. Maybe they wasn't that bad. Maybe they just wanted their party life. They just wanted their quote unquote freedom. And God gave them enough rope to hang themselves. Make a fool out of their life. Friend, today wisdom standing at the door knocking. I believe that. I believe God spoke. I believe he spoke in Brother Jacob. I'm not taking away from that. And I believe he spoke when Brother Williamson said he's preaching on hell. I said, Lord, you're going after sinners. I believe that in my heart. I believe that. Let's stand to our feet. Brother Jamie's coming. Do you need to come? Do you hear him knocking? Harden not your heart.